and welcome to the Deep Dive Radio Show. As always, I'm your host, Nick Espinoza, and we're going to be talking about all things cybersecurity, cyber warfare, and technology related, and I think we're one of the only ones out there that's doing that right now. If you'd like to be part of the radio show in any way, shape, or form, you can follow us on Facebook and Twitter at NickAESP. Again, that's NickAESP. Or you can send us an email to questions@securityfanatics.com. We have an action-packed show as always. There's always a lot to cover, so stick around with us as we deep dive into a topic and we catch up on everything else. So without further ado, let's begin. And we've got a great show for you this week. I'm obviously going to take you through the news. We're going to answer audience questions. And this week's deep dive is going to be From Russia with Love. And we are going to be talking about all things Russian hacking, espionage, and influence. And not just the United States, but worldwide, because Russia has a very prolific hacking program that is literally hitting multiple countries, allies, and otherwise across the globe. And so we are going to go around the world and we are actually going to look at this. And it's going to be awesome. And so please stick around for a great action-packed hour. And as always, we're going to start with the news. In Apple news, Apple has gone to their suppliers, in other words, those component and part makers that give, that develop the parts for the iPhone, iPad, etc., and they have lowered their order totals by 20% overall. In other words, Apple is expecting less sales of their new upcoming model lines for their iPhone and iPad series. And as a result of it, their stock took a 2% hit. And when you're talking about a stock worth billions and billions and billions of dollars, 2% is actually a very significant sum. And basically what is happening is Apple, I think, is understanding that, one, they were caught before basically forcing their phones to be obsolete. In other words, they were caught intentionally slowing their old phones down when new operating system iOS versions would come out. And so they obviously got taken to task for that in the last year or so, because these phones are actually pretty powerful right out of the gate. And so what ends up happening is, if you're forcing obsolescence on a phone that realistically could run perfectly well anything you throw at it for, let's say, 3 years or so, you're forcing people to upgrade. And now that Apple has been caught doing that and they can't really do it anymore due to lawsuits and public outcry, et cetera, et cetera, I think they are realizing that not everybody's going to stand in line and buy the latest and greatest when they don't necessarily need to. These phones are expensive. The iPhone 10 or iPhone X rather went for about, what, $1,000 for the phone? And so they are setting a new level of precedent. And so they are lowering their orders by 20%. And that may also mean that they're going to increase their prices on the latest models of phone, knowing that, one, people are going to buy them because Apple has a very hardcore fan base out there. But two, they're going to try to offset that 20% cost somehow, because obviously they want to keep their sales up, to keep their stock prices up, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. And so they just went through their huge conference the other week, WWDC, and it was a big success with a lot of different things, but they are still lowering their order. So we'll see where this goes, but Apple's obviously not going away, but we're going to see what this does to their outlook overall. And in warfare tech news, we're going to be talking about China right now. Now, China is buying up old Soviet, yes, not Russia, Soviet tanks. And if you're asking why they're buying old Soviet tanks that are clearly outclassed by absolutely everything, it's because China is turning them into autonomous fighting vehicles. They are starting to equip these like a driverless car. It's going to be a driverless tank that they can remote control or have it automatically control itself, target, shoot, etc. And this is a massive test run for them. But in terms of military, China's looking at this as either, one, to augment their military because they don't have enough personnel to go around, or two, they are trying to protect their soldiers by letting the tanks do all the work and then the people are not in harm's way. In other words, if you're in a tank battle and you're sitting in a tank, you have the possibility to be killed. You know, your tank is going to get hit or whatever. Now, if we have an autonomous tank, then, oh, well, we lost an autonomous tank, which sucks, but nobody died. And so China, who doesn't exactly have the best track record on human rights, I'm thinking is looking at this as a way to augment their military. But, you know, I'm not in their government, so I can't say that. But we are now starting to see autonomous vehicles. And if you in the military, and if we are thinking about this with marrying this with AI, now we've got artificial intelligence driving war machines you know, into combat. And I swear, I'm the only one that's seen Terminator. I'm the only one, because I continuously read about this kind of stuff. It's absolutely nuts. So that is your warfare news of the day. And I hope that China discontinues this program. I think everybody probably agrees with that. I don't think anybody should have autonomous tanks. And in cyber warfare news, we are going to be talking about China. And China, actually, basically hackers for China, just hit a major U.S. contractor. And we don't know the contractor's name. For national security purposes, the contractor's name has been withheld. But this contractor actually had very, very sensitive data that Chinese hackers were able to get. 614 gig worth of data on a project called Sea Dragon. Now, Sea Dragon is a anti-ship missile system that is being developed for U.S.-based submarines for basically actual standard warfare that protects our submarines against ships, like ship attacks, significantly better. These were slated to be installed or go live by the year 2020, and Chinese hackers stole very sensitive data on this project so they can either duplicate or find a way to combat it. On top of this, Chinese hackers also downloaded very sensitive details about the radio rooms and technology systems for the radios in our submarines. Now, these are obviously how our submarines communicate back to naval command, as well as, you know, how we implement encryption systems to protect our communication. And if these fall into the hands of somebody else, then we've got a situation like we had in World War II, where we broke the Japanese code, or rather, we understood the Japanese broke our code, and we broke the Germans' code, the Enigma machine, on their submarines. So we are looking at something along those lines, but this is serious to the point where if we ever get into some kind of hot war, we may find ourselves at a serious disadvantage if the Chinese know how to, one, listen in on our submarine communication, but two, can foil our defenses with this. This can literally get U.S. Military personnel, naval submariners, killed. It's a serious problem. And we see this constantly, hacking back and forth. They hack us, we hack them, etc. But this is a serious problem, and the Chinese just unfortunately penetrated us incredibly deeply, and it is definitely to the detriment of our Navy. And in hacking our kids news, I don't know if you guys have heard of Cloud Pets. I actually have not heard of them until I read this report. Cloud Pets are basically Wi-Fi enabled stuffed animals, super cute, that you'd give to your kids. I'd give it to my, you know, elementary grade school daughter, for example, and they're super cute. But the problem is that a lot of these products, like any IoT device, get rushed to development, and then what ends up happening is vulnerabilities, and that's exactly what happened. So apparently, over 800,000 accounts relating to these Cloud Pet toys were recently hacked, and the data was leaked into the dark web. And that's a serious problem because obviously this, you know, one, this may be storing usernames and passwords. It could be storing banking information such as credit cards and stuff like that. Not to mention the fact that if we can hijack a toy, then it's very possible that we can either use the toy to run surveillance on the network to gain access to other computers and devices, or use the bandwidth of the network that we're getting to attack other targets, or possibly even spy on the kids if they have microphones or cameras integrated into them, which I believe some models of Cloud Pet do. And so this is a serious problem that we have. And again, these are in the hands of children. I mean, they're not going to be worried about their safety or concern. So if you have any kids or grandkids out there with Cloud Pets, you might want to be concerned, and definitely log into your Cloud Pet account and change the password on that. And hopefully they're going to come up with some updates for this. But typically when data like or when information or news like this breaks, typically what ends up happening is when it breaks, the company has already corrected the situation and strengthened their network. But Cloud Pets, like everything else, is always under attack 24 hours a day. Somebody's always trying to find a way to break in, whether it's a researcher or malicious. And hopefully it's a researcher that can then notify a company like Cloud Pet to strengthen their offerings. So any Cloud Pet users or owners out there, take heed. You're listening to Nick Espinoza here on the Deep Dive Radio Show on Huntley Community Radio, WHRULP, on 101.5 FM. And in privacy news, There was a bill, actually, and this is going somewhere. There was a bill in 2016 called the Encrypt Act that was actually put in front of Congress, and it was a bipartisan act. Two Democrats, two Republicans were on this bill, and the whole point was to prohibit local, state, and federal authorities from either weakening encryption systems or prohibiting the sale of advanced encryption systems to consumers. Now, in this country, in the United States, we have this real right to privacy. It's in our Constitution. It's something that is enshrined. We have privacy. And the way we are keeping private these days is by encrypting data. So if we don't want somebody prying, if we don't want any prying eyes, whether it's a person or even a government looking into our personal stuff, we can use encryption to protect our data on our devices, our computers. If we are moving data across the internet, we're using encryption to safely and securely transfer it so that hackers or anybody else, including the government, won't be able to watch it. Now, the reason why I'm bringing this up is because there have been several calls in the last couple of years for by local governments, law enforcement, federal government as well, to weaken encryption systems, because basically encryption hinders their ability. It makes it harder for law enforcement to do their job if they don't get easy access to the data. And actually, that's kind of the way it should be. Now, if we remember this, the San Bernardino shooter from a few years ago, the FBI actually went to Apple to try to get Apple to break their own encryption system on their iPhones. And Apple said no, because that would expose millions and millions and millions of people to basically have weak encryption. So the government can walk into virtually any phone at that point. And Apple refused because, you know, one monster should not, you know, should not dictate how millions of us are allowed to keep our data private. And I bring that up because that bill, that Encrypt Act, has once again resurfaced and is pushing its way through Congress. And this is kind of a battle for like the soul of society, the soul of privacy, if you will, because if we lose this fight, if we are allowed to, if the governments, local to federal, are allowed to weaken encryption for law enforcement, then we really don't have much privacy anymore. And we've already seen cases where the government has been able to track us without warrants, such as Securus. This is the location smart thing that basically every major cell carrier is giving this company, location smart, cell tracking data, GPS data in real time. And law enforcement could log in through a service called Securus and just get this. So if they wanted to find out where I was, they could log in, and in real time, they would immediately know where my cell phone is. And it's usually attached to me. So there you go. So it's things like this, and we have to update our laws, and this law, the Encrypt Act, is one of those important things. So if you are a political activist, I thoroughly urge you to contact your local representative in Congress and tell them you want the Encrypt Act to pass. You want this because this helps to ensure your privacy. And in a changing face of technology and as we evolve as a society, privacy is a very important thing. And while it may help some bad people, overwhelmingly, all of us are good and all of us deserve that right. So take heed of that. And in hacking news, I don't know if you know who Yevgeny Nikulin is, but he is a Russian hacker that was caught in Canada and extradited to the United States. Now, he's in Alameda County, which is around San Francisco, the Bay Area, and he is facing charges of hacking data from U.S. tech firms like LinkedIn, Dropbox, Formspring, Yahoo, etc. And they are basically, they have stuck him into solitary confinement. One, there is probably a fear of Russian espionage trying to get to him because the Russians are pretty good at poisoning people. And two, apparently there have been several different confrontations with various officers. Now, the Russians are actually involved in this in the sense that the Russian government has been calling, apparently, the jail and the administrative officials in Alameda County constantly, like multiple times a day, trying to either check up on him. They're trying to see if they can get this person extradited back. But this individual was a paid Russian hacker, state-sponsored Russian hacker. And apparently, I believe he was also the one that hit Yahoo for all 3 billion mailboxes so that the Russians could get access to 80 government officials that had like personal accounts on Yahoo. It's a very serious issue with this right now. But this just kind of underscores the global importance of hacking. And we don't have uniform laws from country to country on how we deal with extradition as well as how we treat hacking charges. And so what I think we need to have is a standardized understanding, maybe through the United Nations or something like that, where, you know, hackers are illegal malicious state-sponsored hackers are treated in specific manners. They have specific charges, specific laws, and all of that. Now, granted, we make our own laws like any other country out there, but until something like this happens, we are going to see state meddling in local, rather, we're going to see foreign state meddling. This is what I should say. We're going to see foreign state meddling in our federal law system, and vice versa probably as well. But it's a serious issue right now, and he's in solitary confinement, and hopefully he will stay alive for the whole trial because he's already been talking. He's denied charges, but he is talking from everything that I've understood. So Yevgeny Nikulin, we will keep you up to date on that here and see where this goes. And if your internet service provider is Frontier, and they are a cable TV, an internet provider giant. I mean, they're huge. They're not quite Comcast, but they are rather large. And I know they're also very heavy on the West Coast. So all my listeners on the West Coast, California in particular, which I know Frontier is very heavy in, basically there is a serious flaw in Frontier's website. Now, it's a password reset flaw that made basically any account vulnerable. And the way it works is that a hacker could go in and attempt to run a reset on your account, for example, punching in some basic information, and then from there they were able to gain access to the account due to a vulnerability and how the system would reset it. Now, obviously, Frontier is aware of this and they have corrected the issue, but this underscores the point of if you have a Frontier account or you use them, you need to log into your Frontier account, change your password ASAP. And that is obviously very important because that password is out there. And if you've used that password or that username and password combination on other things, because that's out on the dark web, you need to change it anywhere. And a lot of people just use the same password for something like Frontier as they would for like Facebook or, you know, Amazon or something like that. So make sure anywhere you've actually used that password, you change it. Because if I'm stealing passwords, for example, as a hacker, I'm going to hit every major site I can with that username and password, seeing where I can get in, seeing what I can do. And so it makes sense to one, layer your passwords, and two, change that particular password anywhere. But Frontier people, you got to hop to it and make sure that you're safe. And in Facebook news, Facebook actually, well, they've been on the chopping block for a while now, ever since the Cambridge Analytica thing and the advanced data mining and Mark Zuckerberg going in front of Congress and saying, yeah, we're not going to do this anymore. And, you know, this has pretty much been shut down, et cetera. A new bombshell report came out a few weeks ago by the New York Times, and that was later expanded on by many different news outlets, that Facebook had actually given major device makers like Apple and Samsung and BlackBerry, Microsoft that made the Windows Phone, Huawei, and a whole bunch of others, unprecedented access into our data. Now, if you have a Facebook account, and let's say you don't have a mobile phone, but you have a friend that has a mobile phone, their mobile phone device maker was given access to your account, even if you had your options set to say, I don't want any third parties in my account. I want that privacy. Facebook was basically ignoring that and allowing these large device makers to get into your account. And so pretty much everybody on Facebook globally was essentially penetrated very deeply as a result of this, completely ignoring any kind of privacy and data law. And so this is a serious, serious issue that has just come to light in the last couple of weeks of just how unprecedented and deep the access went for the major, major device makers in our lives. And some of these now, interestingly enough, are on the radar in the U.S. government in terms of Department of Defense. So if we're looking at Huawei, which is a Chinese cell phone maker, they are actually no longer allowed to be sold on DOD, Department of Defense, military bases, installations, all of that, for fear that it's very possible, because it's 100% Chinese company, that these phones can be used for some kind of surveillance or espionage, unknowing to the military personnel that's actually using them. So Huawei, given all of this information, had very deep access to literally everybody in the United States on Facebook, just like Samsung and Apple and everybody else. And this actually started back when Facebook wasn't the only game in town. They did this to try to bolster their numbers, to try to make their platform more friendly for absolutely everybody. But this is back in the day when they were competing with the like MySpace and all of that. And so this has been going on for pretty much ever. And they actually started winding these down in April of this year. So this is how long it's been going on. I mean, we're talking about 10, 15 years here. And when they got caught with their, hand in the proverbial data cookie jar, thanks to Cambridge Analytica, they started severing these ties and winding down these contract agreements. But some of them are still going on. So Facebook, that's a serious problem. And in more Facebook news, we can actually see that they had a bug recently that turned 14 million users. It basically turned the privacy off. So if you were posting something and your default setting was to post it privately, meaning like, let's say within your own Facebook network of friends, there was a glitch, according to Facebook, or a bug that had 14 million users unknowingly, probably had it set to public. So you were posting something and now suddenly, boom, it was public as opposed to being private, which was your default setting. Now, Facebook has corrected that issue already, but I mean, that's a serious, serious breach of trust again. And it's just more egg on the face of Facebook, if you will. So I'll keep you up to date here on more Facebook news, but we'll move on from this. But Facebook just can't get a break lately, and rightfully so, because they've been data mining the ever living heck out of us for the longest time. So it's good that they're finally being taken to task. And now for the deep dive segment, where we take a closer and deeper look at a cybersecurity, cyber warfare, or technology issue around us. And if you have any suggestions for a deep dive segment or something you'd like me to dive into, you can once again find me on Facebook and Twitter at Nick A. ESP. Again, that's Nick A. ESP. Or you can send an email to questions@securityfanatics.com. That's questions@securityfanatics.com. I am more than happy to take a look at it. And if it meets our standards, we are more than happy to do a deep dive on it. So let's begin. And this week's deep dive segment is called From Russia with Love. And we're going to be talking all about Russian hacking in the most non-political way that we can. We're going to be talking about facts on the ground here. Now, a recent poll of hackers came out, and of all of these respondents, 82% of hackers surveyed said that Russia has the best hackers, and only 5% say the United States does. And so I decided to go and deep dive into this topic because the Russians have been hacking and attempting to destabilize governments around the globe for the last 5+ years now or so, and they are consistently growing and gaining technology as well as attempting to influence society for their benefit. And it's a serious, serious problem. And we don't even have to look at the United States. I know there's huge debates that rage on, between people, did they or did they not hack the election and all of that. And I will get into that later in the deep dive in terms of the facts on the ground, again, in a non-political way. But we can look globally to several documented, cited, and known verified examples of Russians hacking elections, interfering with societies, and all of that. And the best place to look is Europe, because they are actually very prolific at attempting to meddle with NATO countries. That's the North Atlantic Treaty Organization. Basically, these are governments that have traditionally been in opposition to Russia, as well as the former Soviet Union. And Putin is working on trying to make these governments more friendly. And I mean, it's a laundry list of things that they've actually been caught red-handed doing, openly or secretively, that have been identified by various intelligence agencies and corroborated across multiple governments worldwide. And so this is not like some boogeyman, that we tell our children about that is mythically there. They are actually doing this. And It's rather quite interesting if you're looking at it from the hacking and influence perspective, because they are literally attempting to fight a war without having to fire a single shot and get local populations to do it for them. And so if we're looking at this list, we can start with Germany. Now, The Russians are suspected in hacking Germany's parliament in 2016, stealing 16 gig of email data. And researchers had traced that back to known Russian techniques, source servers, state-sponsored cutouts, and all of that. And so the evidence is overwhelming that they did that. Russia also funded Germany's Alternative for Germany party. And this party is a far right-wing party that has made it a priority to increase relationships with the Kremlin, and they are starting to pick up seats in German parliament, which is giving them some power, actually, as they continue to grow. And so we've got a far right movement that is Russian funded in Germany. We can look at France. They were caught funding the far right political party, such as the National Front party, in the 2017 election. Now, the National Front's leader, Marie Le Pen, has taken vast loans from Russia. This is proven and has repeatedly praised Russian President Vladimir Putin. President Macron, the current president of France, when he was going through the election, it was verified that his servers that were running his election campaign were actually hacked by Russians, and the Russians dumped his email, basically his email correspondence, into WikiLeaks. And so we know that the Russians have been diving deep into France to try to destabilize and make that government more friendly. In Italy, they funded the populist movement. A populist movement called the Five Star Movement. They funded that, and the Five Star Movement is leading in polls, and they are consistently calling for closer ties with Russia because Russia has given them a lot of financial backing. Greece, it's no different in Greece. But it's interesting to note in Greece, though, that the Russians don't discriminate against left-wing or right-wing. All they are looking for is a party or an organization that seeks to be friendly to the Russians and will create a government or try to move the government towards being friendly with the Russians or destabilizing the region, as we're about to see. So Greece, who has a lot of financial debt, they defaulted. There was a serious problem within the EU a few years back. The party that's in power is the Syriza party. And while they've denied it, it's basically they have denied that they've changed their foreign policy stance to favor Russia in return for bailout money from Russia. Now, they deny this, but interestingly enough, since they came to power and they have moved their ties closer to Russia, Russian oligarchs that have very close ties to the Kremlin, aka Vladimir Putin, have been buying large stakes in Greek media and energy firms. And we know the Russians are excellent at hacking energy. They proved that in the Ukraine when they were invading that back in 2014. But if they have large stakes in media, then obviously the media outlets that are reporting to the Greece population would be more Russia friendly. That's a serious issue. You're listening to the Deep Dive Radio Show. We'll be back right after this quick message.